ओम नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय।
हरे कृष्ण। सो आई वेलकम ऑल द डिवोटीज फॉर टुडेज संडे फेस्टिवल प्रोग्राम। सो टुडे वी आर गोइंग टू डिस्कस ऑन दिस टॉपिक कृष्ण कॉन्शियसनेस, the right choice. So there was a young man and he was not getting married for a long period of time. Age was growing. So one of his friends asked him, "So what is the problem? Why are you not getting married? It is beyond certain age now. Any particular reason?" And he said, "There are so many girls I selected and I showed to my mother. First girl I showed, mother said no. Second girl I showed, mother said no. Third girl I brought, I thought this is very good. She said no. So one by one I showed so many girls and my mother said no. So what can I do?" So the friend said, "Then why don't you show a girl who is just like your mother?" Said, "I tried that, but my father said no." So life is like that. All of our choices are decided by various personalities, circumstances, situations, society, relatives, friends, media, and each one is trying to impose upon us the point of view. This is what you should be doing in life. This is the choice you have to make. And therefore, how is it possible that we can develop the conviction that Krishna consciousness is actually the right choice to take, the right step to take in life, and dedicate one's energies for the service of Krishna? It is described that this material world is a place of suffering, and people are generally feeling frustrated. Why? Just like our Dr. Deepak Gupta, Deen Bandhu, he is in London now, and he had a patient recently. He came for psychiatric help and he told the doctor that he had recently tried to commit suicide by taking an overdose of pills. So he asked him why. "Sir, I was working in a bar and I developed the habit of drinking. So along with my job of serving customers, I would also keep drinking throughout the day. But then because of financial problems, the bar closed down. And so I am not able to afford my regular drink. And so I am feeling extremely frustrated. My body is not able to cope up with this. And therefore I have gone into depression. And thinking about how I am going to lead my whole life without proper resources to drink, so I tried to commit suicide. So now you give me some drug on overcoming depression." So he gave him some tablets. And then he also said that, "I've got a wife." He was 45 years old, his wife was 18 years old. And he said that she's not able to understand my problem also. And therefore I'm alone. So after a few days, Deen Bandhu Prabhu found that there is one lady who came, and she said that, "I have a husband who recently went to some psychiatrist, and that psychiatrist gave him some nonsense drugs. And I've been trying to tell my husband to give up this alcohol, he's not able to give up. And I am becoming frustrated because of that. So whatever drugs, antidepressant the psychiatrist gave, I took an overdose of that and tried to commit suicide. So now, I was not killed because of that, but now I need some drugs to help me come out of my situation. And the Inbandhu said, I was that psychiatrist. And I gave the drugs. And you are not trying to understand the real problem in life. Trying to solve one problem with a material solution leads to another problem. Therefore, this material world is described as a place of suffering. Why that suffering occurs has to be understood. Samsara vriksha agha bija mananta karma shakhayutam karana patra mananga pushpam aruhya dukha phalinam patitam dayalo Lakshmi Narasingha Mama Dehi Karavalambam. So this material world is compared to a tree. A tree is born from seed, and the quality of the seed determines the quality of the fruit. So if you sow a neem seed, we will get a neem fruit. And a neem fruit will always be bitter. So all of us are trying to pluck fruits in life, but we have sown the seed of sin, agha bija, the seed of rebellion against Krishna, against God. And because we have sown the seed of sin, the fruits which we obtain are bitter. Aruhya dukkha phalinam. So therefore, the fruits will be bitter. And it does not matter which part of the tree you go. So if in the lower branches the fruit appears bitter, and the man starts thinking, maybe these are the lower branches, let me go to higher branches. But if you are climbing higher and higher up in the same neem tree, are you going to come across mango fruit? That's not possible. Every square inch of that neem tree is permeated with only neem fruits which will be bitter. Therefore, all of us are sowing the seed of sin and expecting sweet fruits. Sowing neem seeds and expecting to taste mango, that does not make sense. And hence, we have to analyze the nature of the seed which we have sown and try to sow a seed which is going to give sweet fruit. And therefore Krishna says that this material world is dukkhalayam ashashvatam. And all of us are in a predicament that we are climb this tree and expecting sweet fruits. Just like I give this example, if a person visits a hospital thinking that it is a hotel, what will be his situation? He just sees the first letter H and he thinks this is hotel, H-O. What is the difference between a hotel and a hospital? You enter a hotel, you have a desire to enjoy, menu card comes, and then you start choosing, okay, I want this dish, I want this dish, I want this. So you have the choice, and you expect to be served whatever you order for. But when we go to a hospital, when we are admitted in the hospital, the nurse does not come with a menu card. Which injection you would like, sir? Which kind of medicine you would like? Which size? Which shape? Which color? Okay, yellow? Okay, fine. And also blue? Good. Bitter? Okay. Bittersweet? Okay. Sweet sour? Okay. Which flavor? Cough syrup, which flavor you would like? Hospital means as soon as you are admitted, you are analyzed, your disease is diagnosed by the doctor, and certain instructions are given to the nurse. Even instructions are not given to the patient. He doesn't even know what's going on. The doctor comes, checks, and then writes something, and only the nurse understands what's happening, and she comes with a big needle. And he starts shivering. I said, "What's this? I didn't expect this. I want to be served." I said, "Yes, sure, here. That is service." And then he's checking out on the neighboring bed. One fellow is sitting peacefully reading newspaper. And he's thinking, "Why you are only giving this to me? Why not to him? You prick this to him also." So the nurse says, "He's here for last 20 days. He's already had 30 like this. Now he's about to be discharged. So you don't compare your treatment with him." Therefore, when a patient is admitted, he has full faith in the doctor, and the doctor knows exactly what is the disease and gives line of treatment accordingly. So Krishna has created this hospital. This material world is like a hospital where all of us have come and we are experiencing this suffering and misery, and Krishna has provided for a method of treatment. So actually all of these sufferings which we are going through, they are like disease. And Krishna is like the supreme doctor. And he knows exactly our individual unique disease. And he knows exactly what treatment each one of us needs. And he gives it to us accordingly. So an intelligent devotee has faith in Krishna and Krishna's treatment and accepts this with gratefulness. And therefore, this material world has been created to rectify our enjoyment propensity and make us understand that yes, I have to go through this suffering to ultimately purify my consciousness and turn towards Krishna. Let me give up my enjoyment propensity. Bhakti vilochanena. So right now we have a vision of enjoyment. Whatever we see in this world, we look from the point of how can I enjoy. So that propensity has to be rectified, transformed, changed. And hence, we have to make decisions in life. What is the goal of my life? Where am I going to invest every ounce of my energy? I have to make that choice moment to moment. Because if we are driving on a highway and we turn off the wrong road, it may just be going at a small angle initially, but if you make the wrong turn, you land up in a different city. Therefore, the earlier we make the choice, the better. So what is that right choice? How to be convinced that Krishna consciousness is the right choice? Whose opinion should we take? Because so many people in this world are trying to convince us about so many things. So Krishna, in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, is roaming through the forests of Braja along with his loving cowherd boyfriends, Stoka Krishna, Subhav, and Arjun, all of these wonderful cowherd boys. And Krishna is showing to all these cowherd boyfriends the beautiful trees of Vrindavan. He is pointing to the trees in Vrindavan. And Krishna says to his cowherd boyfriends, "Just see how these trees are glorious. Pashyadetan mahabhagan parasyaikanta jivitan vatavarshatapahiman sahanto varayantina." Just see the glory of these trees, my dear friends. Mahabhagan, they are great souls. Why are they great souls? Parasya ekanta jivitan, because they are leading their lives only for others. parasya. And in order to dedicate themselves for others' cause, vata varsha atapa himan, they're experiencing various kinds of sufferings. They're experiencing the influence of rains, thunderstorms, snowfall, hot sun. They are tolerating the scorching summer and the extreme winters in Braja. For what? To protect others who take shelter under them. And therefore, I consider that these are great souls. And then, in the next verse, he is describing that how all of these trees are giving themselves to others in so many ways. Patra pushpa phala chaya moolaval kaladaruvi gandhanirya sthitokmai kaman vitanvate. The trees are giving fruits, flowers, leaves, bark, sap, so many things. And this I consider to be the success in life, the goal of life. Every human being is looking for a profession, an occupational duty, a lifestyle which will lead him to ultimate success. But who defines that success? Who has the authority to define what is success in life? Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the ultimate creator, who knows the exact purpose behind the creation of this world and the creation of this human body. And therefore, given the opinions of all the people of this world, personalities of the world throughout history on one side, and you have Krishna's opinion on the other side, then whose opinion is more valuable? Krishna's. Right? Just like Kadambakanand Maharaj was explaining once, that someone approached him and said, that I am practicing Krishna consciousness, but my friends, they are saying, why you are following the Gita? And they are angry. So he replied that if you are not following Krishna consciousness, if you are following Krishna consciousness, following the Bhagavad Gita, your friends are angry. But if you do not follow Bhagavad Gita and do not follow Krishna consciousness, Krishna will be angry. So you have to make a decision whom you want to please or displease. Because ultimately we cannot please all the people all the time. And this is most important. Like Giriraj Maharaj explains that when he took to Krishna consciousness, his parents brought home a psychiatrist. And the psychiatrist was figuring out what has happened with him. So she was asking various questions. So, what exactly is your problem? And he said, there is only one problem, Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadhi. I said, you had any problem with your parents or something happened? I said, yes. Ultimately, I forgot my Supreme Father, Pitamahasya Jagata, Mata, Dhata. Krishna is Supreme Father, Supreme Mother. Every question she was asking was answering with shlokas from the Bhagavad Gita. In half an hour's time, the psychiatrist came to the parents and said, I can't preach to your boy. He is too deadly. Everything I am saying is answering with Bhagavad Gita. If I continue listening to him, I will become devotee. Your son is permanently infected. And this was told to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, yes, this is the success. That if we become permanently infected with faith in Krishna consciousness, and then nothing of this world, propaganda of this world, opinions of this world can shake us. That is the ultimate aspiration of every devotee. We become so convinced that the goal of my life is to serve Krishna and please Krishna and serve the Vaishnavas. That is the ultimate success in life. And so Krishna is giving his opinion. And he says,
Etavat janma safalyam dehinam iha dehishu pranair arthair dhyavacha shreya charanam sada.
You want to know what is the success in life? Etavat janma safalyam. There is only one parameter for success. Dehinam iha dehishu pranair arthair dhya vacha. The ultimate success in life is if we can please Krishna, satisfy Krishna, serve Krishna and all the souls of this world who are parts and parcels of Krishna with our life, pranair, arthair with our wealth, dhya with our intelligence, and vacha with our words. Pleasing and serving Krishna with our life, money, wealth, opulences, possessions, intelligence and words is the ultimate success in life. And to the extent we can do this, to that extent our life is a success. From whose point of view? From Krishna's point of view. And therefore Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also quotes this verse establishing the parameter for success in the human form of life. So let us see how we can use these resources in Krishna's service. Pranair, arthair, dhya, vacha. So all of us have these four resources. Our life's desires, pranair. Our ego. Arthair, our wealth. Dhya, our intelligence. And vacha, our words. So as I said before, the main cause of suffering is we are sowing the seed of sin. But how to counteract this seed of sin? So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is describing in Chaitanya Charitamrita,
Brahmande Brahmite Kona Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Beej.
By the mercy of Guru and Krishna we get Bhakti Lata Beej. So we have to sow the seed of bhakti. But where do we sow this seed? For sowing the seed, you need an appropriate soil. You need a conducive soil, a nice environment. And thus, soil in Greek is called humus. And from this word in Greek, humus, comes the term humility. And therefore, only when this seed of bhakti is sown in the conducive, favorable environment of the soil of humility, then it will sprout and grow into a healthy, nourishing plant, which will ultimately develop into sweet fruits of love of God. So the question is, how to develop this humility? Because only when we develop this, then the seed can actually grow properly. That is the conducive soil. And therefore, pranair means that using one's desires completely in satisfying Krishna, by dedicating one's life energies, desires and his free will in serving his representative. So what are Krishna's desires are very difficult for us to understand, comprehend, appreciate and fulfill. And therefore Krishna has given his representative, the Guru, the spiritual master, the Bhagavata, the devotee. And therefore, when we utilize our energies, our life, to fulfill the desires of Krishna's representative, that is the actual import of humility. That changing our own desires in such a way that we fulfill the desires of Krishna's representative. So the desires in the heart are compared to iron filings. And the spiritual master or guru is compared to a magnet. And when the iron filings come under the influence of magnet, all of them align in a certain direction. Therefore, when we dedicate ourselves in fulfilling the desires of a great soul, then all our desires become aligned towards Krishna. Pranair. Giving up one's own false ego, one's independent thinking mentality, and trying to understand how can I satisfy desires of Krishna by following in the footsteps of his devotees. Someone asked Srila Prabhupada, we have two Bhagavatas, one is book Bhagavat and the other is the person Bhagavat. Which of the two is better, book Bhagavat or person Bhagavat? And Prabhupada said, person Bhagavat. So the devotee said, why? And Prabhupada said, because person Bhagavat can pull your ear. He can pull your ear and discipline you. And many times devotees come and say that actually we like the deities so much because the deities never speak anything. They never say anything. Whether I come to Sunday feast or not, they are always smiling, always playing upon their flute, they are self-satisfied. But the devotees, somehow, I have a lot of difficulty dealing with them because whatever I do, they are always saying, you didn't do this, you didn't do that. I don't come for one or two programs and they say, why you didn't come? And therefore I find it very difficult. And that is because our false ego is hurt. And that false ego is the main trap in which all of us are caught in. So we have the example of Sripad Ramanujacharya. He had a disciple whose name was Dasharathi. And he wanted to know from Sripad Ramanuja the meaning of the verse Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mamekam Sharanam Braja. So Ramanuja said that unless someone is qualified, I cannot speak this verse. So you go to my another guru, Goshtipurna. So Dasharathi went there and served him for 6 months. And at the end of 6 months, Goshtipurna asked him, why have you come here? And he said, I want to know the meaning of this verse, Sarva Dharman Parityajya. And Goshtipurna said, I cannot explain to you. It is a very tough subject. Only Ramanuja can explain. You go back to him. So he again came back to Ramanuja and said, I didn't get the answer. And at that time there was a lady called Atulai, and she was the daughter of another of Ramanuja's gurus, Kanchipurna. So Atulai came there and said, I am having lot of problems dealing in my in-law's place. Because my mother-in-law, she sends me for 6 to 7 kilometers to fetch water. And I have to bring big pots of water every day back home, walking 6 kilometers. And then after coming home, I have to cut vegetables, clean the vessels, cook for everyone, take care of kids. It is becoming so difficult. So I proposed to my mother-in-law that let us have a domestic servant. And she said, if you want a servant, go to your father's house and get one. We are not going to supply. And therefore I have come here searching for a domestic servant. So Ramanuja looked at Dasharathi. And Dasharathi was a great sannyasi. He was one of his prominent disciples. And he said, you want a servant? I have a good servant. You go and serve in this house as their domestic servant. And this was a great sannyasi, and he had to go to the house of a householder and become their cook, fetch water, cut vegetables, do all kinds of things. But because Ramanuja ordered, so he went. And then everyone in the village was impressed and they were congratulating Atula, you got a great servant. He's doing so many wonderful services. And they didn't know who he was. They didn't know his identity. So one day, a big scholar came to the village and he was giving a discourse. And as the scholar was speaking, suddenly in the course of his speech, there was some tinge of Mayavad philosophy. And because Dasharathi was a trained Vaishnava scholar, he couldn't tolerate to hear Mayavad. Immediately he got up and said, "What you are speaking is bogus, and I challenge you." And the scholar looked at him and said, "Hey, this is not kitchen. This is an assembly of scholars. Shut up and sit down." And said, "No, I can prove to you where you are wrong." And he started establishing his fact, quoting Shastra, left, right and center, because he was, after all, Dasharathi, the great scholar. And everyone in the village was stunned that, "My God, what has happened to this cook? Till now he was just quietly cooking. What has he eaten today that he is speaking like this?" And they were shocked, and some of them tried to pacify him. "Hey, this is scholar, big pandit, don't speak like this." Said, no, "you don't know what he is speaking." And then the scholar could understand that this person was not ordinary. He called him, he bowed down to him and said, "You cannot be just an ordinary cook. Who are you?" And he said, "I am Dasharathi." And as soon as he said this, all the villagers and even Atula and his family and family members were shocked, because they had heard about Dasharathi. But in previous ages, they didn't have photographs and they didn't have internet facility where you could immediately understand who is who. They had never seen Dasharathi. They had only heard. And all of them fell down at his feet and started begging forgiveness and got scared. And Atula and her family members especially got really scared when they heard this. Said, "Why have you come here? Of all the things in the world, why have you become our domestic servant?" Said, "What to do? My guru told me, because he was trying to test my surrender and humility." He said, "In the test of your humility and surrender, why are you involving us? We will all go to hell for taking service from a great sannyasi like you. We will go and certify to Ramanuja, you have passed the test of humility, whatever is required, come." And they took a big procession and went to Ramanuja and said that, "Please, you may have something to do with your disciple, but please don't involve us in this. And he has done excellent service, he has passed your test, no problem." And so Ramanuja was very pleased and said that, "Now that you have fulfilled my order, fulfilled my desires and followed my instructions, you are qualified to hear the import of this verse, Sarva Dharman Parityajya. And because of your dedication to serve others, because of this service attitude, I hereby give you the name Vaishnava Das." So that was another name of Dasharathi. And this is very important to understand. Therefore, spiritual life means that we are willing to accept desires of great souls as our life and soul, and set aside our own conceptions and our own desires of what is right, what is wrong. That is the meaning of pranayir. To serve Krishna with one's life and soul means to serve his representative, to serve the spiritual master and the great devotees and their mission. Prabhupada was in Vrindavan and he had come along with his various Western disciples, and they had organized a big program with all the prominent businessmen from Delhi and other places, and also from Vrindavan. And Srila Prabhupada was speaking in that assembly, and Prabhupada said, "My disciples are so dedicated to me, they are willing to fulfill all my desires, follow my orders. Even if any one of you gives them $10 million, they will not renounce me. Even if you give them $10 million and tell them that, give up this old man, give up this person, they will not." That is their dedication. And everyone in the assembly started clapping. And even the disciples, they started clapping. And Prabhupada said, "Stop. Nobody has yet offered you $10 million. So don't clap so soon. But I am confident by seeing their service attitude, that they are dedicated to me, and that is the success of their life. Therefore, pranayama means to surrender one's life. Once Ravindra Swarup Prabhu brought a big Sanskrit scholar to meet Srila Prabhupada. And he thought that here is a PhD scholar, and if he meets Prabhupada and is impressed, he will help us in the university preaching. And Prabhupada asked him first question, "So okay, you are a Hindu teacher, what is Hindu?" And he said, "This is a very complex subject. I can't just answer in a short, you know, just one line, what is Hindu, it's very complicated." Prabhupada said, "Just see, he is supposed to be teacher in Hinduism, and he doesn't know what is Hindu, he doesn't know what he is teaching." And there was one devotee nearby, Prabhupada asked, "So, Swarup Damodar Maharaj, if someone is teaching a subject and he does not know what he is teaching, what is he called?" And he said, "Cheater, Prabhupada." And this big professor, he got bewildered, and he said, "You are calling me a cheater?" And Prabhupada said, "Well, if that is what you are doing." And he said, "Okay, if you claim to be a big scholar, you tell me what is the meaning of this surrender. What is surrender? What is the understanding of surrender? Sarvadharman parityaja, this verse, let us debate on this verse." And Prabhupada said, "Why should I say? Are you my disciple? I will only instruct my disciple." So immediately he said, "Okay, I am ready, I become your disciple." Prabhupada said, "Then shave up your head first. That is my first instruction." And then he became very angry, he raised his voice further. And then Prabhupada said, "You don't want instruction, you want a Sanskrit teacher." And back and forth it went on. And Prabhupada was shouting at the top of his voice, this professor was also shouting. And then finally the devotees had to intervene, pick him up and take him away. And Ravindra Swarup Prabhu was feeling extremely embarrassed that, "What did I do? I brought this professor and I actually committed an offense." Next day in the morning he told Prabhupada, "Please forgive me, Srila Prabhupada, for bringing this person. I didn't know that he is going to react like this." Prabhupada said, "That is no problem at all. At least we chastised him nicely." Because all of these scholars, they talk full life about all these verses from Gita, and they speak from various purports and commentaries on what surrender is, but they have no practical understanding, because they are not actually surrendering their own lives to anyone in this world, to any devotee. And therefore they just remain theoretical scholars. So pranayama means we are willing to accept someone else's authority in devotional service as our guiding light. And this is more difficult than it seems. And therefore pranayama, it is the most difficult. And then arthaira. Arthaira means to utilize one's resources, wealth, money, etc. So all of us have some wealth, some money. And how we utilize that in Krishna's service is important. The example is that of Bali Maharaj. What was the extent of his wealth, his possessions? Bali Maharaj practically owned the entire universe, all the three worlds. And Vamanadeva appeared in front of him and convinced him to give three steps of land. And when Bali Maharaj agreed, Shukracharya opposed this. But Bali Maharaj was not bewildered by Shukracharya's preaching, and he said, "I am going to give these three steps of land." Guror api avaliptasya karya karya majanatam uppatha pratipannasya parityago vidhiyate. If someone gives instructions claiming to be your teacher or guide, benefactor, well-wisher, but that teaching or that directives are opposed to surrender to Krishna, then utpata pratipannasya parityago. Parityago means one should give up such so-called false teachers or well-wishers.
So Bali Maharaj had that conviction. He understood, yes, what I am hearing is not correct. It is opposed to pure devotional service. It is opposed to Krishna. And therefore, I should give it up. And so he decided to give all the three worlds to Shukracharya, to Lord Vishnu, to Lord Vamandev. He knew that he is ultimately going to be arrested, he is going to lose everything, but he was ready. And then finally Vamandev expanded himself, usurped all the three worlds, and then Bali Maharaj was arrested. And so many people were rebuking and criticizing and chastising, including his wife Vindhyavali. The demons were chastising, and others were also criticizing, and at this stage, Lord Brahma felt compassion on Bali Maharaj and spoke on his behalf. So Bali Maharaj was arrested. So Lord Brahma decided, okay, let me become his lawyer and plead on his behalf to the judge, Lord Vaman. And he said, Yat padayor ashradadhir salilam pradaya durvankurairapi vidhaya satim sapariyam. My dear Lord, I am not able to understand your transcendental dealings. It is inconceivable. Lord Vamanadev, you have described in the scriptures very clearly, very loudly, that anyone offers with love and devotion, yat padayor ashatadhi, if someone without any duplicity offers at your lotus feet, padayor, salilam pradaya, little bit of water, durvang kurair, or some fruits or nuts, any simple leaves, durvang kurair apividhaya satim sapariyam, these simple offerings are accepted by you. You have given your word, patram pushpam phalam toyam. Offer leaf, fruit, flower, water. You offer only this much and Krishna is pleased. And that is what we hear. So Brahma is saying, you have made a declaration like this. And here is this person, Bali, who has not just given leaf, fruit, flower, water. What has he given? Apyuttamam gatimasau bhajate trilokim. Dashwan gatim aviklavamana kathamartim richet. He has given practically all the three worlds. He has not kept even one tiny atomic fraction for his own enjoyment. All the resources, all his possessions, the entire three worlds he has given to you. Apyuttamam gatimasau bhajate trilokim. So someone offers you little flower and water, you provide him place in Vaikuntha, and this person is giving all the three worlds and he is under arrest. So what kind of law are you following? I mean, I don't mind whatever you do, but maybe if you could give an explanation, people in Kali Yuga would definitely appreciate. Because it is very inconceivable. And therefore, Brahmaji was nicely petitioning the Lord. Katham artim richet, why should this person suffer? He has given everything. And so, at that time, Lord Vamandev explains that, I am actually pleased with Bali. But I am testing him simply to show, give an example to people of this world that my devotee is willing to go through all kinds of sufferings in spite of giving everything just for my sake, and I'm using him as an example. And in spite of having so much of wealth and opulence, I just want to make one point very clear to the people of this world. Through this pastime of punishing Bali Maharaj, I want to teach an important lesson. That is, I am the personality who gives wealth. Krishna gives wealth. Krishna gives us possessions. Krishna gives us material opulences. And so Bali may be thinking within his mind that he has become very powerful, controller of all the three worlds. And therefore I want to show that I can also take away all the opulences at a moment's notice. I want to show this fact that I bestow opulences, I bestow wealth, and I can take away wealth. And therefore, whatever wealth we have, we should understand that it belongs to Krishna and we have to use it in Krishna's service. This is very important. Like one time someone approached Srila Prabhupada and he was telling Prabhupada that, Swamiji, I have a factory in Jaipur, I have a factory in Delhi, I have a factory in this place, but there are so many problems going on, I am not able to sleep at night thinking about all this. And Prabhupada said, you give the factory to us and you can sleep peacefully. He got scared. And then Prabhupada said, take his address. He said, no, Swamiji, I know your address, I will come to you. Prabhupada said, no, we should also be able to come to you. And then Prabhupada said, anyway, you should know that if you have something and you do not use it in Krishna's service, it will only become a cause for anxiety. It will simply provide anxiety. And hence, arathair, wealth means it must be used in the Lord's service. Dhiya, third is intelligence. Intelligence. So all of us have been given a certain intelligence. So how to utilize that intelligence in Krishna's service? The intelligence has to be used by executing various plans for Krishna. And we have the example of Hanumanji. He was traveling throughout Lanka but searching for Sita Devi. Ravana was also in Lanka and Hanumanji was also in Lanka. Both were physically located in Lanka. But there is a major difference between the two. One's intelligence was completely engrossed in making plans on how to kidnap Sita, and another's intelligence was completely engrossed in planning how to release Sita and unite Sita with Ram. Therefore the choice is ours. Do we want to be in Ravan consciousness or in the consciousness of Hanumanji, using intelligence in service of Lord Ram? And then finally, he found Sita Devi. And Sita Devi was glorifying Hanumanji. And after burning of Lanka, when Hanumanji was about to jump back, so Sita Devi was saying, no Hanumanji, you are the greatest, most powerful soldier. If you go back, then I do not know whether anyone else in future will be able to come back here again. Will all the other monkey soldiers in the army be able to cross this 100 yojanas? Will even Ram and Lakshman be able to cross this 100 yojanas? I do not think apart from you anyone else exists who can do this. So I am feeling that you are the most powerful of all warriors. And no one else can achieve this feat. So what will happen to me? And this is a fantastic glorification of Hanuman. If anyone tells us that only you can do this service, no one else can do this service. I have seen so many people, but the way you do this service, no one can do it. Only you can do it, you will do it. No one else can. So if we hear this kind of glorification, we feel a deep, satisfying feeling. And we feel, yes, he is understanding me. He has got the essence of the Shastras. And therefore, here was Hanumanji. He had utilized all of his resources. He had used his intelligence in perfectly serving Lord Ram. And now Sita Devi is saying that, you are the most intelligent, most powerful, no one else can do it. But what is his response? He bows down his head in utter humility and replies to Sita Devi, मत विशिष्टाश्च तुल्याश्च संति तत्र वनौकस मत प्रत्यवर कश्चित नास्ति सुग्रीव सन्निधौ।
ओ जानकी जी, इन दिस एंटायर आर्मी ऑफ सुग्रीवा एवरी मंकी सोल्जर, एवरी सोल्जर, एवरी पर्सन इन दिस आर्मी इज एटलीस्ट इक्वल टू मी और बेटर देन मी। इट इज नॉट दैट आई एम सुपीरियर टू एवरी वन, आई एम इंफीरियर टू एवरी वन। मत विशिष्टाश्च तुल्याश्च संति तत्र वनौकस मत प्रत्यवर कश्चित नास्ति सुग्रीव सन्निधौ। सुग्रीवा हैज कलेक्टेड द मोस्ट पावरफुल ऑफ ऑल मंकी सोल्जर्स फ्रॉम द एंटायर यूनिवर्स। यू हैव नथिंग टू फियर एट ऑल बिकॉज आई एम द वीकेस्ट ऑफ ऑल एंड आई हैव मैनेज्ड टू कम हियर। सो जानकी जी, मैं रिप्लाई बैक, नो नो, दिस इज योर ह्यूमिलिटी, वेयर इज द एविडेंस फॉर दिस। सो इमीडिएटली ही इज सेइंग, अहम तावत इह प्राप्त किं पुनर्ते महाबला नहि प्रकृष्टा प्रेष्यन्ति प्रेष्यन्ते हि तरे जना। सो डू नॉट थिंक दैट आई एम स्पीकिंग आउट ऑफ फॉल्स ह्यूमिलिटी। एंड समटाइम्स इफ समवन ग्लोरिफाइज अस एंड वी से नो 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 नो, बट इनसाइड वी फील यस 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 यस। एंड समटाइम्स जस्ट टू मेंटेन सोशल एटिकेट सो वी स्पीक इन अ सर्टन वे। सो हनुमान जी सेइंग, नो, इट इज नॉट बिकॉज ऑफ दैट आई एम स्पीकिंग लाइक दिस, आई कैन प्रूव इट। अहम तावत इह प्राप्ता, नाउ जस्ट इमेजिन व्हाट इज माय जॉब डिस्क्रिप्शन, व्हाई हैव आई कम ऑल द वे फ्रॉम देयर टू हियर इन लंका। आई हैव कम एज अ मैसेंजर। एंड हु इज जनरली चोजन एज अ मैसेंजर इज द मोस्ट पावरफुल, टॉप मोस्ट जनरल, मोस्ट पावरफुल वॉरियर चोजन एज मैसेंजर। What is the qualification to be a messenger? Someone who can just do the job and doesn't do anything major negative, can just reach the place and deliver. It is not that the messenger is tested for his convincing ability or for his fighting ability, because already he is given protection because of certain treaties. So a messenger is not expected to be highly qualified. Duta is a humble position. So he's saying, अहम तावत इह प्राप्ता किं पुनर्ते महाबला। If I have come here as a messenger, can you imagine if a messenger can jump 100 योजनास, नहि प्रकृष्टा प्रेष्यन्ति प्रेष्यन्ति हि तरे जना। What about all those other great warriors who are staying there? How much more powerful they will be compared to me? If me, a simple, humble, insignificant messenger can do this, can't the others do this? And therefore, they are all more powerful than me, and you do not worry about this at all. I can fulfill this desire of Lord Ram, and they can fulfill hundreds of times more than me. So this is Hanumanji's ideal example. When someone has intelligence, then there is always danger of feeling false pride. And not only Hanumanji is displaying his intelligence in fulfilling Lord Ram's plan, utilizing his intelligence in seeking out Sita Devi's whereabouts, utilizing his intelligence in diplomatically and heroically fighting against Ravan and killing his soldiers, destroying Lanka. But his intelligence is in the right place where he understands his actual position vis-a-vis his other fellows, his other comrades with respect to Lord Ram. Otherwise, many a problem have been created by those with too much intelligence. And therefore, even if intelligence is used in Krishna's service, that may create a feeling of false pride, and that may ultimately result in various other problems.
So Hanumanji is an ideal example of someone who was intelligent in executing Lord Ram's desires, at the same time intelligent enough to understand that I am simply an insignificant servant. That is real intelligence. To feel oneself humble. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada, when he was giving lecture in MIT, he asked a question in Massachusetts Institute of Technology to one student. He said, okay, your college is called MIT. So where is knowledge of Almighty here? Are you giving knowledge of the Almighty? So unless you realize that there is an Almighty Supreme who is all powerful and we are insignificant, then you cannot actually realize the truth. Therefore, intelligence must be used not only for studying all these other materialistic subject matters to maintain our body and soul, but the real use of intelligence in seeking out the Supreme Person. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada has given us these books. And the perfect use of intelligence is to study these books and understand the power of Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada said, you cannot understand using your intelligence how great Krishna is. So one devotee said, then why have you written so many books? And why do you expect us to read these books? Because if ultimately Krishna cannot be understood, then why you are conducting so many lectures and speaking so much about Krishna and writing so much about Krishna? And things would be so simple. If ultimately Krishna is inconceivable, all you have to say is Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Krishna is inconceivable, he cannot be understood. Thank you very much. Mahaprasade Govinde. Lecture is over. There is no further need because Krishna cannot be understood. So why have you written this? So Prabhupada said, all of these books have been written so that by reading these books, you can understand that Krishna cannot be understood because he is so powerful, so inconceivable. And so the use of intelligence is to study these books. We worship Krishna using our intelligence by studying these books. And that is most important. Recently I met one interesting gentleman at Amsterdam. He had come for a Sunday feast program just 1 month back. His name was Errol. And I asked him that how you came today for this program. He said, this is my first Sunday program, first time visit to any ISKCON temple. And I said, so have you been introduced to Krishna consciousness only today? He said, no. I have been introduced to this movement 1 year back. I said, how? He said, I was going through a library book and at the back of the book it was written that this book is very good to help us through our miseries. When I go through miseries in life, I take shelter of this book. And the person who was making this comment was Mahatma Gandhi. And I had read when I was in school that Mahatma Gandhi did many good things for India. So I thought that if Mahatma Gandhi says it is a good book, then I should read this book. And so he started reading that book. And I said, which book was that? He said, the Gita. I said, the Gita? What is the Gita? So it was actually the Bhagavad Gita. And because in the native language in which he uses, the G word is not used. So he was calling it the Gita. And he had read the whole Gita. And then he came across another book. And I said, which book was that? He said, the Srimad. And that is the Bhagavatam. And he had read through the whole Bhagavatam. And I said, you went through the whole Bhagavatam? He said, I went through the whole Bhagavatam once. And then I thought some parts I have not understood, so I went through it another time. So within 1 year of his coming in contact with Gita, he has read the Srimad Bhagavatam twice. All 12 cantos. And I started getting a complex. That my God,
Even my rate of reading Prabhupada books is not so much nowadays. And so then I thought that maybe he has just glanced through. So I started asking questions from the Bhagavatam. And he was giving answers, perfect answers from different sections. He would take some time to remember and then he would say. So I asked him, what about, you know, the elephant who was in distress? Oh yeah, yeah, ga 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 ga, Gajendra. So he remembered. And I said, any other mantras you know? He said, yeah, the Narasingha mantra. I said, where you read that? In a purport of Gajendra's prayers, Prabhupada is writing the Namaste Narasinghaya prayers. And he learned the Narasingha mantras from the purport of the 8th canto Bhagavatam. And I was amazed. And then he said, apart from this, I also read the Ramayana and Mahabharata. So he asked, okay, tell me 5 Pandavas' name. And then he took some time, but he remembered all the 5 Pandavas. And he said that only 6 or 7 cantos were available in the library. Remaining cantos, he went on the website. And he would pay per hour at the internet cafe. And then he read the 7th to 12th cantos. Reading on the web page of some Krishna site, all these other cantos of Bhagavatam, twice. And I was really feeling thrilled by hearing this. And then I said, okay, what about this chanting? He said, yes, the chanting has been given to us by Kaitanya. So I said, Kaitanya? And because in our books, C-A-I-T-A-N, so he felt it is Kaitanya. So I said, if you know all this for so long, why you didn't come to any temple before? He said, from 1 year, I am aware of this and I know Swami Prabhupada is writing that you have to go and associate with devotee, associate, surrender. But I am afraid if I come to temple, they will tell me, remove my hair. So I have got long hair and I am very attached to that. So till now I was avoiding to come. Otherwise, he has understood the whole philosophy simply by reading Srila Prabhupada's books. And not only that, he has also come across other deviations which are existing apart from ISKCON in the world. And when he was on a chat session, some of these other people also came and they were trying to preach about Ritvik. And someone was trying to preach to him that, no, though, you should not chant Mahamantra, you should chant Gauranga, Gauranga, Nityanand, Nityanand. And then he immediately thought, Kaitanya said Hare Krishna, why are you saying Nityanand? He thinks he knows more than Kaitanya. So this is a person who has never met a devotee in his life and simply read Prabhupada's purports. He has enough philosophical understanding to refute so many others who are going little off from our main philosophy. And so you can understand the power of Srila Prabhupada's purports. And my hairs were practically standing on end to see that this is the potency of these purports, this is the potency of these books, that someone comes in contact, he becomes so enthused and so enlivened. He just takes to this process. The other day in my Bhagavatam class, I was telling another beautiful story that at London we were doing a retreat for the Pandav Sena, for the youth. And so the temple president, Gauri Prabhu, he was taking a class. And it was on different religions. And at the end of his class, someone asked a question. That okay, there are some religions which ultimately believe in terrorizing and doing so many other things. So to what extent we should be accepting those principles as devotees of Krishna consciousness? So he said, to the extent that our principles are not compromised, we can accept. And he gave an example. Suppose a man from Tanzania comes to London and then he starts driving on the wrong side of the road and the police catches him and says, why are you driving on the wrong side? He says, because I am following laws of Tanzania. So will that be accepted in London? No. And therefore there are some other religions. And you know, you may be following Quran or you may be following this, but if it does not conform to Gaudiya Vaishnavism, to these principles, we don't accept. And then he asked this person, okay, so what is your name? And he said, my name is Muhammad from Tanzania. This man's name who asked the question was Muhammad. He was a Muslim. And he was from which country? Tanzania. And Gauri Prabhu did not even know that he is from Tanzania. He just gave an answer, gave an example of Tanzania. And then this person, although a Muslim, how he became a devotee? It's so interesting. He was an engineering student. He was going to one bookstore which was giving books in discount. And the bookstore owner just gave him one book one day saying that nobody is going to read this book, you know, you seem to be an Asian origin, you read this book, it will be good for you. It was a very old, dusty book. And that book was Bhagavad Gita as it is, by Srila Prabhupada. And this gentleman read this book, became convinced, and he started chanting Hare Krishna. And now he's chanting 16 rounds of Hare Krishna every day. In fact, he met me after the seminars one day, and he was asking really wonderful questions. And he was asking me that sometimes I feel that why we have to go through all of this, you know, family life and other things, why not just dedicate myself to the Krishna consciousness movement? What do you think? I said, great. I have no problem at all. I said, what is your experience? You know, you have been doing this for so many years. Are you feeling satisfied? I said, I'm blissful. I'm enjoying, no problem. So you should also come if you want. But you take your proper training, finish your course, do some job. And I was amazed to see that generally we would not expect someone from certain backgrounds to take to this process. But just by reading books of Srila Prabhupada, he had got connected. So that is how Prabhupada has written these books with so much potency. If someone applies his intelligence, immediately he becomes convinced. He immediately takes to this process. And therefore, dhiya means, let us use our intelligence in understanding Krishna conscious philosophy and fulfilling Krishna's desires. And finally, vacha, we have to utilize our words in Krishna's service. Speak about Krishna, chant Krishna's holy names. Prabhupada was in Chennai, and there was one Mayavadi who came to meet Srila Prabhupada. And he was arguing with Srila Prabhupada that, Swamiji, in 6th chapter Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is telling about Ashtanga Yoga. In this verse, Krishna is saying, go to a secluded place. And you are writing in your purport that one should actually chant Hare Krishna because the other process is not valid. And here you are saying that Lord Chaitanya has given Krishna, Hare Krishna chanting as the goal. And Prabhupada said, what did you say again? He said, I am saying that Krishna's name is not mentioned in the verse, but you are mentioning Krishna in the purport. And you are saying, chant Hare Krishna. And Prabhupada said, yeah. Anything else? He said, in 18th chapter, this verse, again, Krishna is not mentioned, but you are saying Hare Krishna. You are saying Krishna. And like this, so many verses from the Gita, this man, this Mayavadi, was bringing out and arguing. And Prabhupada was not arguing back at all for even one of these points. And he would just be asking, what did you say again? Just repeat your doubt. Okay, this one, that one. Okay, in this verse, what did I write? And devotees are wondering, Prabhupada generally heavy with Mayavadis. And this Mayavadi is getting special concession, you know, discount treatment. Why is this? And then when he left, Prabhupada was asked, Prabhupada, why did you not, you know, smash him left and right? And Prabhupada said, just see, every time he was chanting name of Krishna, he was saying, Krishna, you are mentioning Krishna, Swamiji, you are mentioning Krishna here, Krishna there. So practically for 1 hour he chanted so many holy names of Krishna. And ultimately, this is the highest benediction. So I thought in this situation, he is not going to understand any argument. He is using his words in Krishna's service, he is chanting Hare Krishna, it is very good. So I just made him chant lot of Krishna's names in 1 hour. So our words, if not used in Krishna's service, become asati. Asati means unchaste. And therefore, we have to utilize our words in Krishna's service by speaking about Krishna and glorifying Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare.
So if we just remember these four things, Pranair, Arthair, Dhiya, Vacha, Shreya, Acharanam Sada. This is the ultimate success in life according to Lord Krishna. And this episode comes just before deliverance of the Brahmana's wives. Because Krishna wants to establish the Brahmanas, they refuse to give Krishna the food. So Krishna wants to show, better to be selfless trees than selfish Brahmana. He is actually taunting the Brahmanas through these verses. Better to be selfless low-born trees than to be selfish high-born Brahmanas. I don't care two hoots for what is your birth, but what is your attitude in life? Are you selfish or selfless? And selfless means dedicating one's pranair, arthair, dhiya and vacha for Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. So anyone has any questions?
Hare Krishna.
Yeah.
I have 2-3 questions for you.
You may ask one.
But before I ask question, I would like to convey my heartfelt appreciation for your very nectarian discourse.
Thank you.
I am so happy to be being here. My question is that, Prabhuji, in your talk you mentioned that we have set up our goal, that was ultimate goal, to reach the ultimate destination, that is supreme abode. In Krishna conscious, the devotees, according to me, we set up two type of goals, and one is that materialistic, another is the reaching ultimate the destination, that is supreme abode, Vaikuntha. The thing is that when we are materialistic goal, we are making some sort of compromise. And that compromise to money, we are using for our devotional service too.
Sorry, that compromise?
So, in materialistic way, we are making some sort of compromise. That compromise money, of course, that the ultimate is a Lakshmi. For that Lakshmi, we are using for our devotional service too. So, what in that money, when we are using for devotional service, in what way harm in our spiritual progress, or it doesn't harm at all? Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
So, Krishna says in Gita that every endeavor is covered by some fault. Just as fire is always covered by smoke. So you cannot find any task or any occupation within this world which will be free from fault. A Brahmana has to teach students, and these students may misuse that knowledge which will harm society. So you will accuse Brahman, you are responsible. Why did you teach? Kshatriya has to kill. That is not good. Vaishya, he has to speak some lie to make a profit. And Shudra, he has to serve some master who is doing something wrong, something bad. But what to do? So therefore every endeavor is covered by fault. But the way Krishna describes is yata pravrittir bhutanam yena sarvam idam tatam. You have to utilize your occupation in such a way that you keep Krishna as the center of your life. You cannot make material world perfect.
but you have to put Krishna in the center. You were there for yesterday, Prerna festival. Radha Gopinath Prabhu gave a very nice example that there were two people shooting in the bullseye. You know, one person had shots all over the place, and the other person's, all of his shots were right in the bullseye. So he was asked, how is it that all your shots are right at the bullseye? So he said, first I shoot, then I make circles. So the purport is fantastic, that first you keep Krishna as the center, and then you mold your whole life around Krishna. And that is ultimately the success. Otherwise, there will always be fault somewhere, somehow. You cannot avoid. Right? Like, when Prabhupada first started preaching in India, people were accusing this Hare Krishna movement of being CIA agents. And then they released this film, Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. And everywhere devotees were going, people were making fun. Dam maro dam, dam maro dam. And they couldn't realize what's happening. And Giriraj Maharaj was in, you know, Chennai at that time. And he asked one local Chennai person that what is the meaning of this song, what are they singing? And he was not Hindi speaking. So he gave his own understanding of that. He said this Dam maro dam song says that you just chant Hare Krishna, full day you will become happy. So Giriraj Maharaj said, this is great, this is preaching. What is the problem with this? This song is preaching Krishna consciousness, that you just sing Hare Krishna and you will be happy. So he went to Calcutta, and when he was in Calcutta, Giriraj Maharaj bought a ticket for this film and went to the theater. And he saw the first scene. He showed devotees chanting. And he said, ah, good, good beginning. And then second scene, and he realized, my God, what is this? And what this director had done was, he had invited the devotees for a home program. He used to stay in Juhu Vileparle, the director, and or the producer or whatever. And he had filmed the devotees' program secretly, that satsang. And he has used those clippings in the film to begin. Right? Now, you don't have to see that now. So, it was actually, the devotees were cheated in many ways. And he was shocked, and he came out and he told Prabhupada, what is this? We are supposed to be doing the highest welfare work. We have no other motive but just serve Krishna. And still just see, so much of propaganda is being made against us, all this Dam Maro Dam. Prabhupada said, how long the world will remember Dam Maro Dam? They will continue for some time, and ultimately they will forget that Dam Maro Dam. But what will remain? Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. So therefore we see that what was initially thought as a cult or a CIA agent, then in 1995-96 the Prime Minister Atal Bihari Vajpayee came and inaugurated ISKCON Temple. President of India came and inaugurated Bangalore Temple. And so many Prime Ministers and Presidents are regularly visiting our ISKCON Temples. And the state leaders have accepted Srila Prabhupada as a great spiritual ambassador after many decades, which was not there when Prabhupada was personally present. So what to speak of people working outside, even if you are fully into Hare Krishna, even that is not spared, and people will find faults even with this preaching mission. So there is no situation where you are free from fault. But the main idea is, whatever situation you are put in, utilize that in Krishna's service according to your best capacity. And Krishna sees your intent, your motive, and then he is pleased with that. That is most important. So therefore, a short time association with Krishna consciousness is more valuable than decades of austerity and tapasya and being in the forests without having any proper guidance about the goal of life, about the real path. Recently I was in Rishikesh and I met one sadhu,
And this sadhu was practicing austerities in a cave for last 40 years, 45 years. And we were talking to him, and they lead a very, very austere lifestyle. In all seasons, they just stay in the cave surrounded by various kinds of wild animals and insects and this and that. They do some kind of dhyan, tapasya. But I just asked him, what is the final goal of life? What is the ultimate prayojan you are looking for? And he didn't have any clear answers. By attending one Gita course, and I think the Gita course is starting very soon, sometime from tomorrow, Gita course is starting. You attend one Gita course, at the end of one Gita course, anyone who even previously has been a drunkard, smoker, womanizer, gambler, meat eater, having no knowledge of any Krishna or Sanskrit or philosophy or Veda or anything, he will know more about the conclusion of the Vedas than someone who is in seclusion for 30-40 years without the right guidance and doing some kind of austerities. And then I asked him, can I go and see your cave? He said, no, we cannot see. Why? Because there is Supreme Court case going on. About what? About the possession of the cave. He said, what? Cave? Where is this cave? He said, it's in the middle of the forest on top of a mountain. So why Supreme Court case is going on? Because the Uttaranchal Forest Department wants to take over it, saying that this is national forest. Only animals should stay. No sadhus. So we are protesting, where will we go? You know? We are trying to rise above animal life and trying to take to religious process, and you are driving us out. We have stayed here for 80 years, 100 years. So they have prepared so many papers proving that they have been there in the cave for 100 years. And Supreme Court case is going on for possession of the cave. The cave is sealed. Myself and Radhakun Prabhu went to the cave to see just in case something is open or not. But it was sealed and written there, court case going on. So at his old age, this man was 65, 70 years old, right? He was now meditating on the Supreme Court, not Lord. So what is the use? So therefore, you are getting the best chance to come in contact with devotees, and within 1 week, you will get the highest knowledge. All the principles will be clear as to what is what and who is who. And then you are even given tips on how to apply that in your life within 1 week. So we should be thankful to Srila Prabhupada and his devotees. They are giving us this opportunity to make rapid spiritual advancement in the right direction. So other faults will remain, but you have to somehow dovetail all your energies, keeping Krishna in the center. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanande.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.